And so, you know, I thought about this because the other day when we got the revelation that we were going to have a lot of boxes, I said, there's no way we're going to load that many boxes with the small crew that we usually get that can do it. And I said, Lord, how can we do it? Well, and then the thought came in, whether it was God or not, I don't care. It was a thought. You know what it means to be a Christian? We come and we serve. We can serve. And there's still enough of us guys in here who are capable to run those carts as well. Those were just some of the youngest. And, but anyhow, I was thinking about it, I was like, Lord, but that's service, you know, that's, we've got to come together, we got to preach. You know, I like what St. Francis of Assisi said. Preach always, and if necessary, use words. See, we believe that our faith is dead without action. Now, if you get listen to the wrong preachers, they're going to try to tell you it's just so that you give money to their cause. If you listen to Jesus Christ, he'll tell you, first off, where to make your offerings. But he means to do something proactive. You're believing for a healing? Get up. Move. Exercise a little bit. Just so you know, there are no magical weight loss programs. Exercise is part of it. I don't care what they tell you. You've got to physically do something. That's what burns our fat. That's the way God created our awesome bodies. You want muscle. I mean, I scratched my chest the other day, and I was like, boy, that's awful soft. I was like, yeah, I probably should. I mean, and even though I do work, I don't work like I used to. And that's where it all went. But our faith should be backed by something. You're believing for a new job? How many job applications have you put out? You got to look. You got to put them out. You're looking to start a business. That's a huge step. You've got to get plan ahead. Now, I know they say, well, you got to have a 5-year plan and all this stuff. You know what? I never did. You know what I did? I went and bought tools and I got a job. Got my first job. Somebody in the church heard about a lady who needed some painting. And I started that, and that's how I started. And that job, I went and bought more tools. Because I had heard Bill Burgett, to build Kikozing, would build in a new piece of equipment with each job. And that's how he had such a massive business. We got to start putting our faith towards these things. We've believed that for 21 years that this was God's will for us. And then he opened it up to where we were the collection center. People would bring us the boxes, which also meant we got to deal with their boxes. And so it keeps getting bigger. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to get bigger. It's going to get bigger. Until Jesus returns, we're going to keep doing this. As long as he says. I'll just emphasize that. God says, pump the brakes, we pump the brakes. But right now, it's pedal to the metal. And so we have to know that we have got to do something. No matter what it is we can do. You know, we have volunteers in here. You know, I was looking on the wall in there. You know, there was Rosalie. There was Edna. And due to medical things for Edna, she just doesn't feel she can come. But Rosalie passed away. She went on to be with Jesus. And we... You know, she couldn't pick up the cartons. She couldn't pick those cartons up, but she could do something. And she did it. You know, some of you, I know you couldn't be here. You made a meal. That means something. You made some cookies. That means something. We all did try to do a little something. Yeah, they're over cookies. And, you know, and I look around, and I see so many people. And, you know, there's things that God's working through me Okay, he's like, okay, now it's time for you to start letting this happen and let this happen and things of that nature. And I'm like, God, you know me. I'd do it. But he's saying it's time. And so there was one thing I talked to somebody today about. They're going to do it. Because I learned some other information. I was like, it was you the whole time, wasn't it, God? It was you putting that on my heart to do this. And so, you know, as I look and I think back, you know, we've always tried to do what we can do. If there was something we were going to get into it, we did it. We needed to raise some money for somebody in here, we did it. We came together. Got laid on our heart to pump, to have a well drilled. Bless God, we did everything we could. We had a talent. It was an awesome time. It raised some money. And we drilled a well by ourselves. They didn't have to take our tiny little offering and put it with another bigger churches. Bless God, the little body here did it because it was something God said to do. And people went out of their way to do things, to come up with something. And that's servanthood. That is serving. And my problem is when we think that the only way we can serve is by being at a pulpit. Sometimes you got to get down and get dirty. And I will tell you one thing I don't like is being the mouthpiece all the time. I would rather be digging into poop to get the septic cleared. Because I will never ask you to do something I haven't or won't do. Never. So if I ask you to do something, no, I have already done it. And that includes digging out the poop. These toilets get miraculously plugged up. And it's not a fun job. Recently, I bought one of them toilets that flushes golf balls. You ever see them? So you can dump a bucket of golf balls and they will not plug up. They do not plug up. So, I look at the examples in the Bible. I try not to look at all the examples of people I know. They just like to be bosses. I don't mind being a boss. Don't get me wrong. It's a good position to be in. If you're called for it. Because if not, are you willing to handle the flack when something went wrong? But it didn't work quite right. And so that's why I'm like, you know, I was always good being in the corner, God. I didn't mind being back there in the sound booth. You know, I could just look over, preacher, just over that little wall. And, you know, I see so many preachers hiding. They don't want to get out and get dirty. Well, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to do something like a pancake cook, and I'm going to flip the pancakes. I don't want to flip the stinking pancakes. I don't flip the pancakes at home. Why would I do it somewhere else? I do fry the eggs. I'm good at making messes. You missed your opportunity for the big amen. But I have to look at somebody who is above all of us. And that's Jesus. What example did he give? We all want to go out and we want to preach, but I can show you in the Bible where Jesus did things all the time. Well, you know, the woman washed his feet. That woman came on her own. He didn't ask her to. I know a woman he did ask of something. It was a Samaritan woman. He asked for a drink of water. You need to understand what he just did right there. He broke the social barrier. He wasn't supposed to talk to her. Because the Jews thought they were better than the Samaritans. Even though they could go back to Jacob as their father, both of them. Well, you know, you're not exactly of the same line. This is so stupid. Jesus sat out and he broke a social norm. And when he did, countless people got ministered to. Well, I don't talk to your kind. I've actually had people say that. And what exactly is my kind? Please, offend me another way. I'd really like to hear, well, them hillbillies. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing hillbilly jokes, really. You know what hillbillies are? They're people who survive. They're rednecks. The hicks, they take. That's what I call the people that aren't real rednecks. They act like it, they look like it, but they'll steal from you. Hillbillies only steal if they're hungry. Otherwise, they're thieves and crooks. But I look at my Savior. The very night he was to be betrayed, he knew that night was there. He knew right then what was happening. It wasn't like he was guessing. I think tonight might be the night. I don't know. He already knew it was going to happen. He knew who was doing it. And so he did something that night. Something that, honestly, I can say I've never seen another preacher do. Now, we did it. We did it early on. It's not a tradition that we have to do. Because, well, let's be honest. Hopefully you've washed your feet in the last 24 hours, and you're probably wearing socks, more than likely. And you're wearing shoes. Back then, they didn't always wear sandals. They were kind of like the Amish. The children and the women, anyhow. They'd wear shoes in the wintertime. But in the summer, and you got them leather feet, you just power through. You step in stuff. Keep in mind, horses, camels, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, they do emit carbon monoxide, or dioxide, right? Do I got my dioxide? Okay, it's breathing out. Cars emit carbon monoxide, so we don't have the other waste that comes out the other end of the animal. You know, the road apples. Imagine your road is nothing but road apples. What are your feet going to look like? We get upset when it gets on our cars. We'll darn near wreck our car so we don't run through it. It's just poop. Trust me, it's the least worst thing that's on your car. And Jesus sat down that night. Uh-oh, I think I might have killed my battery. Kayla, can you do it manually? Yep. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, there we are. Okay. I couldn't see you, Carsey. I'm sorry. I could see Kayla, but I couldn't see Carsey. See, that's what I'm talking about. You get the sound booth, you can creep down in there and hide. Okay, so Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, knowing all this stuff was going to happen. The Bible says that he took a towel. Okay, you need to understand something. We have this picture in our minds that they just grabbed something and they threw it over his fancy robe, you know, when he got down there. Jesus stripped to his loincloth to do this. You need to understand. He wasn't wearing his nice robe for the Passover. He took that off and laid it aside. And he took the garment of the lowest servant in the house. Who are you going to give that job to? The lowliest servant in the house has to wash the fungus out of your toenails. That's who got stuck with that job. I know I'm making some of you real hungry. Fasting day today. And he knelt down before each and every one of them. He took that towel and he wrapped it around him. And he sat down at those disciples' feet who had been traveling with him. Okay. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Simon's all over the charts here, folks. Are you really going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." He wasn't going to let him do it. Here to show you how quick Peter could change. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Give me a bath." He asked the Savior for a sponge bath right then and there. He went from, "You ain't washing my feet. Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well give me a bath." He never understood. Peter didn't slow down to think about what Jesus was trying to say to him. He was always quick to action, which, praise God, he moved. He did act. I would rather have somebody who acts, because that means even if they acted in the wrong way, they will go back and correct that and act accordingly. But somebody who procrastinates, "Well, you know, I need to know all the facts." Are you ever going to get all the facts? Because what we know is, just like right now, we don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. We don't know if all those boxes, I didn't sit down and do the dimensions and see if a 2 foot by 2 foot by, is it 2 foot? Okay, it's a 2 foot squared box. If they'll all fit in there, I don't know how many's going to fit in that truck. So in my mind, we do a preemptive strike and we load it. I'm going to act. And if we didn't need these guys in there, their sheer act of servanthood is a blessing to them as much as hearing the word, because they're now acting on their word. Whoops. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." He said, "Oh," now he goes a little cryptic. If you've already had a bath, you don't need one. You're already clean, but not all of you. "For he who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" He now, see, praise God, he sat down and he told them. But do you know how many people don't get this? "Oh, I would never do anything. I'd never go over and mow that person's yard." You know, one of the most annoying things, and I've quit watching them just because I really get aggravated. And I'm like my wife. I wish they'd change the name, just, but there's a name they won't call them, but they're nosy people. And they come out and they think that they have a right to tell you you can't do something for somebody else. And they call the cops. Guy was mowing an elderly neighbor's yard. Woman across the street said, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm mowing her yard." "You get out of here. You're not allowed to mow her yard." "I will mow her yard." She called the cops on him. I had to quit watching them because all I was doing was getting angry. I'm like, you know what? You're not going to tell me what I am not going to do. You can't tell me I can't mow somebody's yard. You can't tell me that I can't pick up somebody's check. I can't put gas in somebody else's car. You're not going to tell me that. It's none of your doggone business. If God puts that on my heart to do that, I'm going to do it. And I have to do it. So Jesus said, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." What he did, folks, is he took them aside and he's right there and he said, "If I washed your feet, shouldn't you wash each other's?" Now, if you've been watching The Chosen, you can kind of see. And again, The Chosen is not about Jesus, it's about the disciples. It shows the irritability that they had with each other. Nobody liked Matthew. You know, we look at, oh, well, there's a book in the Bible called Matthew and all this. He was a tax collector. And they portray him absolutely 100% correctly. His own family disowned him. Think about that. Your family disowned you. Your mom and dad won't talk to you. Do you think these guys over here are going to talk to you? It's like being a Michigan fan this week. By the way, it's going to be a good game. That's all I got to say. And we can never rest on our laurels. It's a good thing to show. We can never rest on what we've done and think we're just going to scoot through. But anyhow, and by the way, I don't care who wins. I am rooting for the Buckeyes because I live here, but I really don't care. For I have given you an example that you should also do to each other. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Folks, if we do the things we know we're supposed to do, we'll be blessed by God. I'm not above you. Now, when it comes to the butt chewing from God, I am. That's the way authority rolls. But when it comes to the reality, I'm a servant of God, just like you. I have authority over this building, yes. And when you ask me to pray with you and to believe with you, then I have authority to work in your life. But I can't make financial decisions for you. I know churches that have done that. I call them cults. I know one that was just down the road in Chesterville. Everybody would work. They'd bring their paycheck. They'd give it to him, and he'd divvy out what he thought they needed. So wrong. Y'all, we do realize it didn't work with the first church either. Because let's say Joe, he goes out and he busts his butt all week. He makes a lot of money. And then Jack, sitting next to him, well, he laid around and played video games all day. Didn't do a thing. And they said, well, we're going to have all things in common. We have a modern word for that. Communism. Yep. Socialism, communism. It's what it is. Now, God's world in the very beginning, we had no need for clothes. Houses? I got a feeling that the temperature in the Garden of Eden was perfect. So you probably didn't need clothes. You could lay out, and I don't know about mosquitoes. I don't know if they found us attractive back then or not. I mean, running around naked in a garden kind of sounds a little sketchy to me. But God's world was perfect. And the work that he had for man was actually pretty doggone easy. You know, I know my father-in-law has farmed for, I mean, since the 60s. Probably, well, before that, you grew up on a farm. Grew up farming. So all of his life, you've probably had to deal with weeds and thistles and multiflorals. And that's because of the curse. Farming would be a little more of a joy if you didn't have to deal with them, wouldn't it? I ain't got to worry about drought. I ain't got to worry about weeds. I put my seed in the ground, the crop comes up. I go out and I harvest it. That was the garden. But we can't think that we're above each other. Well, I could never do that for them. I think they're just a disgusting individual. They may be. I ain't going to sit here and say, well, nobody, there's disgusting people. I picked up a guy one time. His car had just broke down, actually right almost in front of your house. I stopped. I knew where I'd always seen the truck. And I thought, well, if they need help, I can help them. And I said, you guys need help? He said, yeah, I ran out of gas. Would you be able to take me back down the road to my house? I said, sure. I can't remember. I think it was Jesse that was in the truck with me. That man had not bathed in at least a month. And it's not because he didn't have a house. He had a pond right beside him if the water was an issue. I've bathed in the creeks. It's a little cold. But he reeked. He was physically filthy. And I said, Lord, if I was supposed to pick him up, then I will. But I said, I'm going to make sure you tell me from now on, because I had to clean the seat. He left imprints. Dirt. He was so dirty. And his house, the outside of it, is disgusting to me. And I know it is to his neighbors. Because he lives in between several nice houses. But he's got this place that he just won't clean. But if God tells me I have to stop and pick him up, I'm going to stop and pick him up. Because that's what God wants me to do. I'm not above him. Jesus would have died for him just as much. See, and so servanthood means that we sometimes do things we don't want to. I'm sure none of these guys came here thinking, yay, I get to move 160 boxes. Well, let's start breaking it down to three guys running those carts. How quick three of them can do that. That are all young, who don't have jacked up knees, shoulders, backs. Should we go down the list? They can get it done quicker. And you know why I knew that? Experience. Because at one time in life, I was in there. I got volunteered. I got volunteered for a lot of stuff in the Marine Corps. And then there was those days that I, there's a word for it. It has something that you, it's where somebody else volunteered you. It's, I only ever hear it in the military. Voluntold, yeah. Voluntold, yep. You were voluntold. I was voluntold I was going on a float. Okay. Where am I going? You're going to Australia. Woohoo! Get to go to Australia, man, a whole other continent. Next day, oh, by the way, you're not going to Australia, you're going to the Philippines. What? You know, that worked out good for me. One, I didn't want to be on a boat. A float means it's going on a boat. I was on a detachment, which meant I went by DC-9. Got there in a couple of hours, as opposed to 2 weeks on the ocean. And then the whole rumors of being shellbacked when you crossed over the equator. I have no intentions of being thrown into the ocean. I'd lie like a dog to keep from getting thrown over. Yep, I've been here before. I've been over the equator, for those you don't know, in the Navy and the Marines, they throw you over the ship as part of it. Sharks follow those ships. I'm not shark bait. So we have to be able to serve. And as what God is showing me, even now, my role is changing. As I'm turning things over, my role changes. Outstanding. Praise God. I want you to see something, ladies and gentlemen. Not even an hour. But if we had to try to do that tomorrow, did we fill the truck?
No.
No. Oh, that's dead. We're going to slide in. All right. Praise God. One trip. See? Yeah. Well, that's what we want. But see, that's God. When we do what God says to do, just like that, bam. Because I'm running out of things to say about telling you to serve. It doesn't hurt us to serve. You know, I will say this. Back when we started, Bob would come in. He'd help us load dead trucks. It's been 21 years when we started getting trucks and stuff, and even when we had the other ones. But it's time. His role's changing. I personally don't want to see him lifting those boxes. Some of them are heavy. I don't want to lift those boxes. So we start passing it to the next generation. His role changes. My role changes. Pat has done it as well. We're talking 20 and 30 years older than me. And I was in my 30s when we started this. My role's changing. It's time to hand it off to the next generation. And if we don't start doing that, we have a problem. We're going to get up here and nobody's going to want to do it. Well, somebody else has already always done it. Yeah, it's time. You hand it off. This is a relay race. You've got to hand that baton off. And you've got to make sure it's a good exchange. And it is. And with that, God will move mightily. God's going to bless you guys for that. Because you saved my back and a lot of other guys' backs. But like I just told him, not even an hour. Not even an hour. And it usually took us at least an hour to load it part up. And it's always, this time of the year is always terrible weather. I am amazed. They're calling for 40s and 50s after tomorrow. I mean, when I got to church here, it was 18. I was like, oh, of course, Lord, because we're going to load the truck. Yeah. So know that God moves when we serve. If he tells you to do something for somebody, you do it. If you get voluntold, you do it. And God will bless you. I learned so much from being voluntold on a few things. I got voluntold one time to go to do laundry. Do you know what it's like to do Marines laundry? All of our stuff is green and it's not supposed to be. They put it in a laundry bag, they throw it in. Can I tell you something? It was the skatest job I ever had, besides field mess, and I hated mess duty. You don't serve Marines either. They said, you're going to field mess. Oh, no. You go out in the field, you set up a tent, you set up a kitchen, and you cook, and then you tear it all back down. Well, the month I was on mess duty, they sent me to field mess, and they said, oh, by the way, we have no field operations. We're just going to take the tents, roll them out, and you get to spray them down with a hose and wait for them to dry and then roll them back up. That was God. Oh, by the way, my laundry deal, we'd go in, and the NCO in charge says, I have nothing for you guys to do. They keep sending you. I have nothing for you to do. I'm going to shut this door. I'm going to lock it. If I jiggle the handle, you had better be doing something. Because he said it means somebody's with me. Skate job for 2 weeks. I was like, ooh, thank you, Lord. I'm not out there in the sun picking up cigarette butts like my comrades in arms. Thank you, guys. Josh isn't in here yet. You do killing back there or something? Is he crawling back? Ah! That's what it is. The secret has come. Part of the blessing is the cookie table. All right, let's stand. And if you're wondering, I'll announce it now so that you can make plans. Yes, we are having service Christmas Day. It's a praise service. 10:30 to 11:30. It's the whole reason we have Christmas. Yeah. So in my opinion, if you can't come, you missed the point of Christmas. Sorry. It's about him. Your kids are probably going to have you up. You know, yours may not yet, but he may still get up at crack of dawn. Yeah. When the boys were little, they'd get up. I'm like, seriously? Not yet. You got to let me sleep till at least 5. But you got plenty of time to open gifts. And I want to get it done so that if you got meal plans and stuff, you go and have plans. But the point of Christmas is Jesus Christ. And that's why we serve. And that's why we will come and we will sing our praises. And I will resist the urge to preach. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you. First off, Lord, I thank you for these five volunteers. Lord, I thank you right now that they were able to load that truck up in quick time. Father, I thank you things have gone smoothly and the continued blessing on the rest of this operation. And now, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you gave us the example of Jesus serving our Lord, our Savior. And he took off the mantle of the Messiah and put on the mantle of a servant. Father, may we always remember that when we think we're too good for something. That I would have more respect for a president who does something uncharacteristic of a man in that power than a man who thinks he deserves to ignore it. Lord, bless them. Bless these people here today. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you right now your healing touch is going out to people all across that are even watching this from home. I ask, Lord, that you heal their bodies. Speak life and health right now to them. Lord, I thank you that you're touching anybody in here that may be just a tad bit under, Father. Thank you right now. You're killing those germs. Father, you're restoring their health, their life, their vitality. Right now, Father, I bless them. I thank you for moving in their lives. I thank you for opportunities. I thank you that you're leading and guiding them in Jesus' name. Amen.